Barbarian Tribes of Rome, the Germanic Gods, Part 3, The Rest. Now, there's another set of deities that have assembled around Wudan who need to be mentioned. One of them is Baldur. Baldur belongs not only to the north of the Viking days, he is mentioned in the Merseburg Charms as one of the gods, and that would not have been the case if Baldur had been a stranger. One does not bring strange gods into the magic charms, which are so strict as to form and meaning if they are to have the desired potency. Baldur is accepted without hesitancy as one of the gods of the fertility cult. He is the god who must die, but who also revives. He is the symbol of death and resurrection. His name means the Lord, as does the Babylonian god Baal, the Adonai of the Semites, and the Kyros of Christianity. And there are still others, Ul, or the earlier Wolthus, the Norns, who may be related to the Celtic Matrone, when reminded of the mothers in the Goth in Goethe's Faust, Nithilania, Udana, Galminbus, Vercana, and others. Some of them belong to one cult, some of them belong to the other. In the later traditions of the Edda, they are a safe guide to follow these gods and goddesses. They're not thought of as being entirely remote from their human worshippers. They may visit the earth frequently, forever wandering around bent on adventure, and Wudan is called the Wanderer. Often Wudan is in disguise, and he too has adventures as a seeker of knowledge, as a friend of women. The gods and goddesses quarrel amongst themselves. They also have their affairs. They act much like the Greek deities in the Homeric epic. The description is, of course, from the Viking Age, and we do not know just how much of it was invented by the poets and how much was survival from the early traits. In the main, it's probably safe to assume that many of the traits are survivals, since man does not change his gods quite as quickly as he changes other ways of living. The poets, however, dressed up the ancient stories a little in order to make them more interesting. No system of theology has a lasting appeal to men unless there is a contrast between good and evil, between the principle of creation and that of destruction, between gods and demons, God and the devil. Germanic religious belief was no exception to this. The later Eddic story makes a great deal of Loki and Fenris the wolf. Loki is a strange character. He seems to represent the principle of opposition to the gods, and yet he is at other times one of them, as in the poetic and the prose Edda and the stories of Nibling Horde, almost as Mephistopheles is pictured in the prologue to Goethe's Faust, or Satan in the Book of Job. It is Loki who is responsible for the death of Baldur. Loki, at the end, on the day of the great final battle, the Götterdämmerung, is in alliance with the great earth serpent, with the fierce Fenris as the wolf, with the giant of the trackless mountains and the giants of the region of the frost and ice. The serpent and the wolf belong to the ancient fertility cult. The frost giants may well have been a later addition after the deterioration of the climate had sharpened up and possibly long-remembered tradition of far-off days, cold and snow and ice. This tradition now becomes embodied in the haunting fear of the Fimbul winter, the period of eternal cold, which will in the future return to destroy both man and the gods. Then, too, there have been in this idea of the Götterdämmerung a symbolization of the annual struggle between warmth and cold, light and darkness, the good and evil. It would show a mixture of concepts from both cults which lie behind the Germanic religious beliefs. It will perhaps always be impossible to give a positive opinion on the matters of this kind, and the interpretations must necessarily be to some extent of a somewhat subjective nature. Making all due allowances, however, for the window dressing of the later poets, most of the important traits attributed to the gods and the demons are survivals of the age-old beliefs which go back to the Bronze Age, maybe even to the Neolithic. At the same time, it can be readily admitted that there is a possibility of some outside influence. The duality of the religion of the Persians, the principle of good and evil, had a tremendous impact upon the belief of the people of Israel, and in this way it's permeated the late Hebrew belief and in the Christianity. No doubt this symbolism played a role in the development of the concept of the Germanic Loki, although it would be extremely hazardous to indeed claim Christianity as the source of the Loki character. Christian prophecies of the end of the world may have been influenced by the Germanic concept of the end of all things, but again, the concept was present before the foundation of Christian religion. It is a symbolism of the never-ending principle of opposition and conflict between light and darkness, between death and life, winter and summer, good and evil, and as such, it is inherent both to the worship of the sky god and to the earth mother. Now, all we have left to do is look at some of the various discussions about the Germanic religion, which we'll be doing next. Now, the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.